Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and you can't get a hold of anyone. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Bobby Bones.
Transmitting.
Let's go.
We're back. Welcome to Monday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
All right, let's go. We're going to start this one a little different. I'm just going to ask you a simple question, and then you can do your thing here.
Oh, my.
But up first, he's a producer of the videos. He's got 4 kids. Eddie, what would you say your favorite TV show is right now of all the TV shows, current shows?
Oh, right now it's The White Lotus.
Oh, yeah, season 2, huh?
I'm right in the middle of it, okay. So yeah, I'm loving it.
Here he is, producer Eddie, everybody.
Hey, guys, I have a huge update. My Instagram account. We've been trying to get that blue check mark.
Yeah, I've tried forever.
I know. And
man, we've tried so hard. I've been just stressing.
You have
about
not
it.
Been trying. But what did they say? Oh, I'm not famous,
You're not famous enough.
I'm not on the news enough. Well, somebody from the company called me yesterday and said, hey, I have them on the line. We think we can figure it out. There's one change you need to make to your account. Apparently, when I open Instagram, I just have my name Eddie.
Oh, that's why they can't find.
So you can't verify Eddie. So she said, just add your last name to it, and we think that we can get it verified.
That's probably why you're not famous, because you're just Eddie.
I'm just Eddie. There's millions of Eddies.
And you don't have to be famous. You just have to be somebody that somebody would want to impersonate. And you do get impersonated.
Yeah, and I guess it's easy to impersonate an Eddie, because it's just Eddie.
Wow, okay, so you, okay.
I put my last name on there, so now I'm official. They said hopefully it works, and I will get verified.
Can't wait to get that blue check mark. Whoa, I can't wait to get that blue check mark. Come on, it's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
You should retire as soon as you get it.
No.
Leave your boots on the floor and walk off, like just like wrestling. Wow. Okay, Lunchbox, your favorite TV show right now?
The Challenge. It's Challenge Ride or Dies, man. It is awesome. You got to pick.
That's not a new show. Here he is, Lunchbox, everybody. Go ahead, buddy.
Guys, well, 6 months ago, there was a big storm that rolled through. A big old tree branch fell on my roof, left 3 holes.
Is this an update, too?
Yeah, this huge update.
Update, 2 updates. Let's go.
I was going to be on Amy's sister's stupid TV show. They ghosted me, gave me the cold shoulder, never heard from them again. And so I finally did it. I called insurance and I said, hey, I got a tree branch that fell on my roof. I need to file an insurance claim.
We like it was the great storm of 2019.
And they're like, oh, no, what happened? And I was like, yeah, about a week ago, a storm came through.
Oh, fraud, insurance fraud. Flag it.
You're lying.
Flag it.
And they came out, the guy came out, and he's going to give me, I'm supposed to be getting an estimate in the next couple days of how much it's going to cost to fix my roof.
Daddy, it's warm in the house again. Thank you. Ready for that?
Yeah. I mean, so the tarps will be coming down. There's going to be work, construction. I mean, we may have to move.
Move?
I mean, while they construct, right?
They're just patching up a couple holes
in
the roof. Well, it's good that you're doing that, though, finally.
But I finally did it, so there will be no TV show. I mean.
Did your wife make you do it?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, next up, Amy, what's your favorite TV show right now?
Right now, it's Yellowstone.
It is good right now. It is good.
Yeah.
It could go either way, though, right now.
Really?
Well.
Bobby said he thought he jumped the shark.
I said it's definitely at a place now where it can jump the shark, because now Costner's the governor of a state. And so that's such a big change from how the show started that it could either be tumbling downhill or it could give it another 4 seasons.
And, you know, I know he's new to being governor or whatever, but he does a lot of standing around and just looking at land.
He does, yeah.
And I'm like...
He goes to his place and still just looks at it.
Really? Yeah.
All right, what is yours?
Okay, so I thought that Bobby Bones and the Raging Idiots were playing a festival. And it was a three-night festival.
Which we've
and
done it, before.
Yeah, totally made sense. The headliner of the night y'all were playing was George Strait.
Is this a dream?
No. Eddie posted it on Instagram. It was a whole flyer. And I was a little bit irritated at first. Like, is this the announcement? Maybe, why would they not tell me this is George Strait? I have need to go to this.
Huh.
And then I'm like, what is Rachel Fest? That was the name of the festival. And I'm like, who's Rachel? And I say it out loud to a friend that was with me. And she said,
like, Bobby Day's playing Rachel Fest?
Rachel Fest, baby.
Yeah. And she said, oh, no, that's a thing that's going around on socials right now where it takes your playlist and it creates your dream festival for you.
Based on the songs you've listened to the most.
Yes.
Oh.
I think Pink Floyd was on there, too. I'm like, that's awesome.
It's like Elvis. Yeah. Elvis is doing night two.
I mean, but all I saw was George Strait in big letters and then Eddie saying, like, oh, my gosh, can't wait.
Rachel Fest 2022, let's go.
Let's get that thing going.
Let's go.
Rachel Fest sounds, as Ray would say, lit.
Yeah, so some girl, Rachel, posted it, and then Eddie reposted her, and it got me.
Rachel Fest, that sounds pretty good.
It does sound awesome.
I think if it's a Spotify and Apple thing, right? They yes. make that up.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Okay, my favorite TV show right now is Peripheral. The finale was Friday. I love it. It's about it's about virtual reality. At least you think it is.
Like it the is. Oculus?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just a newer version.
All
of
right.
It. And going, I love it. It's on Amazon Prime, so that's it for me. Okay, here's my Mount Rushmore of gas station snacks. And I say this because we traveled during the holiday, and someone had asked, hey, you're on the road, what is your Mount Rushmore of gas station snacks? So I spent a lot of time with this, and I feel like it's important enough to share right now. Number one, the bag of Rolos.
The bag?
The bag of Rolos.
Like 50 count?
Like the bag that you don't have to open the package of the stick, the bag that they're not all individually wrapped.
Okay.
I love a Rolo. One of the most underrated candies. Who doesn't love chocolate and caramel?
Mm-hmm. Caramel's a little overrated.
It is not. Rolo's number one. Number two, Funyuns. Now, I don't ever get Rolos unless I'm driving down the road for some reason. Like, I guess they don't taste good to me when I'm driving to my own town. But Funyuns, same thing. Never will buy Funyuns at the grocery store, but if I'm stopping at a gas station for some reason, I got to have some Funyuns. That's number two. Number three, Atomic Fireballs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oof. I don't like hot stuff either, but I get the big, real name brand ones if they're there, but if not, I'll get one of those little packages for 99 cents.
Of the bag?
Yes. Of, like, cinnamon fireballs. Oh. Like the generic kind. So I get those, and it keeps me, like, awake. Huh. I like those. Hurts my teeth, though, sometimes. And then finally, I love a chocolate pretzel. You know, and in second layer, it would be the yogurt pretzels. I don't like those as much, but I love a chocolate-covered pretzel, and even in the bag they make, they have different kind of chocolate-covered pretzels, like Hershey's makes one.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I love the chocolate and the sweet. And so that's usually dinner if I'm on the road.
The salty sweet.
I'll get all the...
all that?
All the food groups. That's my road food group. But isn't it weird that I don't even want a Funyun ever, unless I'm seven counties over, and I'm like... You're not hankering for a Funyun.
You're right about that, though. Even if you're in the grocery store and you see Funyun, you're like, nah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
But gas station, that's mine.
It sounds like when you're on the road, you go back to, like, you
being a kid,
a sixth grader.
Or Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah.
You have a great
Sunny
point.
D.
I want,
Atomic.
That's it.
Fireball.
That's it. That's how we're doing the show. We're starting it right now. Thank you very much. We got a big hour, not this hour, but next hour. Joey Logano's coming in.
Yes.
Champ's here.
Oh, yeah, man.
NASCAR. And so he's going to come in and sit with us for a while and talk. We're going to talk about fights and going fast and I don't know. But here's the thing. I don't know a whole lot about NASCAR, but Morgan number one does, who used to work on this show. Now she works with me another part. But she's massive NASCAR fan, so she's going to do the interview with me. So when I ask something like, do you pee in your suit? That she's like, hey, this race, you know,
oh,
got
good.
It?
Yeah.
It's the balance.
Yeah.
It's the balance. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. It's time for the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I know you've raised three puppies and Amy has a doodle of some sort, but I got a question. My husband and I just got a 10-week-old mini golden doodle. What is that?
A golden retriever doodle? With a doodle, but somehow
what's a doodle?
A poodle.
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 A poodle.
Sorry, poodle.
That's but a miniature poodle.
From.
Got it.
Miniature, yeah.
And we're wondering if the show could give any tips and tricks for raising and training puppies, especially in the winter months. We live in an apartment complex, and we're looking into group puppy training at a pet store because it's more affordable. I think it's a good effort, and it can be exhausting, but a little encouragement and advice would be appreciated. Thanks, Golden Doodle Holly. Well, here's my first bit of advice is that it's normal when you want to pull your hair out and you're having an emotional breakdown. That's normal because you have a puppy and they're very, very hard. It's also very hard if you're trying to crate train your dog to not use the bathroom in the house, which we did, to leave them in the crate because they whine and you feel sad and it's your new puppy. That's hard, but you got to do it. You got to be strong because being strong for them then is actually more love because of what they will get from it overall and later. So it's very hard. Puppies are very hard. As long as you know that going in, you're fine. You just have to have consistency with the puppy. From whatever it is, you have to be consistent with your rules. You have to be consistent with if you're training them, making sure they get their rewards. So consistency and knowing that it's okay that you want to pull your hair out because that's kind of the agreement you sign when you get a puppy because they're very hard. Amy?
Well, eventually you'll get there to the other side and you won't even remember those
that's
hard days
true.
Because my doodle's a rescue, and she was an adult when we got her, but she was not potty trained because she was tied up outside for most of her life. And we have this adult dog that is not potty trained and was using it was the worst. And I'm like, what have we done? And then finally she caught on and we did some training with her. But Bobby's right. Consistency is key because I am not consistent and she's a hot mess.
Still, yeah. But that's because, yeah.
But she is potty trained.
Consistency. And here's the other practical advice I would give you. Have the pee cleaner, the spray.
Yeah,
you're in the carpet.
Urine be gone.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
There's urine gone.
Yeah.
Get a few bottles of that and just have it because you will use it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to happen. And there's going to be furniture that gets chewed. There's going to be collateral damage in this.
Yeah, what do you do with that? Like, when they're chewing the furniture?
Oh, I bought this stuff that tastes really hot. It's for dogs and you can spray it on things you don't want them to chew. And it's supposed to be a really bad taste in their mouth so they won't lick it.
That's cool.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Mostly if I see Eller, because Eller occasionally will chew on some bottom piece of furniture if she's really bored or it's just restless, and I'll just leave the room and be like, Caitlin, have you seen Eller?
You act like you didn't see anything.
I said what I said.
That's messed up.
And I'll never say it again. Good luck with the puppy. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. Thank you for emailing. Close it up.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Champ, Joey Logano will be in about 20 minutes. If you love NASCAR, or if you love me, not knowing much about NASCAR and sound like an idiot, this is the interview for you. So Joey Logano coming up in just a few minutes, which is why we're going to do Amy's Pile early.
Yes.
I know it feels odd, but let's do it now.
The Bob and Bone Show.
Here's Amy's Pile of Stories.
I have the top TV shows of 2022, the most watched.
Are they all new? So is it new shows or is it like The Office again wins?
Oh, yeah, they're new.
Okay. Top...
We'll just go over the top five.
Well, you just move off of them so quick. They're great, and they come and they go. And you're like, this is the greatest show. On to the next, and you kind of forget you even watched it.
Yep.
I think one of the ones that I loved the most this year was the one on Apple about they had the split work and home life.
Severance.
Loved it. Does that make the list?
Yes, it's at number 13. Out of 25.
That's down there, man.
It's Ooh. No, that's still that's top still, 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
but there's a lot. I mean, okay.
Don't of be
a
all hater. The shows.
Already grinching me up.
It's not my style of show.
All right, go ahead. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
5 is Never Have I Ever.
I mean, we used to play that game. Like, no, I only used to watch the cool kids play the game. I never got invited.
Oh.
But I didn't watch the show. Number 4.
You watched this one, The Bear.
I really liked The
it's
Bear.
It's a good one.
Yeah, the chef
cooking
one.
Show, yeah. Mm-hmm. The chef. The fictional show about a chef whose brother dies.
Yes.
Not a cooking show. I said that wrong. Go ahead.
Yellowstone at 3.
Love it.
House of Dragons.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
House of the Dragons at 2.
Don't be insulting with your tone.
Listen,
what is that?
It's Game of Thrones. Oh. It's a prequel. It's excellent.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And at number 1.
It's the number 2 show, haters. Say whatever you want. It's a number 2 show.
Doesn't make it
hey,
good.
Hey, scoreboard. Look at the scoreboard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at it.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't watch number 1 either. Star Wars Andor.
Oh, it's number 1.
I start making fun of that one. Morgan, did you watch that one?
Yeah, I did.
You like it?
It was really good.
I believe her.
I know Morgan likes Upload, and that's at number 10.
Ball don't lie. You know, number 1. It must be good. Ball don't lie. Mm-hmm. All right, what else you got?
Okay, KFC is testing out funnel cake fries.
Are they sweet?
Yeah, funnel cake is sweet. They've got the sugar powder, but it's just like a funnel cake, but in the shape of a fry. And if they roll this out to every KFC, for now it's in select ones, they say that you should pair it with like chicken strips, and it's kind of that salty, sweet chicken waffle type thing, but with a funnel. I mean, I'm a sucker for a funnel cake.
You know what I had that was really good? I paired it together.
What?
We have these orange drinks. They're like probiotic sodas. My stomach's always really messed up, but it's like any orange works. Sun-kissed, whatever. I was eating some crackers. Again, the stomach issue. And I put the cracker in my mouth, and I was rushing, so I poured the orange drink over the cracker because I was just trying to get it. And I was like, I didn't mean to do this. Let's grow. Oh, it was really good.
Like a tangy, nice.
It's like salty.
Hey. Oh.
Okay, so the combo is put a cracker in your mouth and take a swig of the orange drink.
Mm-hmm. Sunny D.
This drink that I have is called Poppy, P-O-P-P-I, and it's a probiotic soda.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, I want to try that.
It's not like a dessert. It's fine. I like that burn, which is why I was drinking sparkling water, and I try to fix my stomach issues different ways, or like at least, you know, trim some corners, but don't drink it going, oh, Bobby really recommends the taste of it. Okay, what else?
Well, I want to talk about some country songs that were almost done by other people.
Okay.
And speaking of fried chicken, Chicken Fried is by Zach Brown Band.
And a little bit of chicken fried.
But that almost went to Alan Jackson.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
he not want to do it because he had already done the bologna song?
That's yeah. right. What's the song that he sang?
I like fried.
I still like bologna.
Yeah, I still like bologna. Oh, you have this. He did a bunch of food songs.
And then That's Where I Come right. From, Cornbread and
It
chicken.
Ain't Like Mama Fixed It.
That one's interesting because Zach Brown wrote that one and offered it to him as a songwriter. And he said no, but then Zach Brown did it. A lot of these were offered to people and they said no, then somebody else cut it because a songwriter had written it. All right, what else?
Big Green Tractor. Jake Owen passed on that and ended up being a number 1 for Aldean.
I talked to him about this and he was like, it just didn't feel like it was authentic to me. Because I didn't have a tractor. I'm like from Florida. And I don't think he's angry he didn't cut the song. Because I was like, bro, what? That's a lot of money.
But 8 Second Ride was him?
Yeah. But he's in a truck.
He's in a truck.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
seven oh that's right. Seven a bull. Okay. Big old truck.
I was going to say, Jake, you're Florida. You never got in a bull.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great question. But it's about a truck.
Got it.
He does have a big truck.
And that album, though, that whole album of his was definitely a different vibe from Jake.
Yeah, I like Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
Uh-huh. All right. Whiskey Lullaby. Dirk's Bentley could have done it, but he thought it was too depressing. So.
Well, it is.
It was a huge hit for Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss.
I love it. One of my favorite country songs of all time.
And finally drank away her memory.
I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Oh! It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
Tanya Ragsdale and 11 of her friends went to the Waffle House in their town, and they had $100 each. Their bill, after they all ate, was about $80. So everybody just put their $100 down and left the waitress a tip of $1,100. And that was their plan all along, to eat and just basically pimp some joy. The kind gesture brought the waitress to tears. She was talking to the TV station about it. Said, look at this lunchbox. It made the news.
Wow.
For this tip.
I know. I tried
tipping. Made the news.
Listen, when I tip people, no one does anything about it.
You didn't tip $1,100.
I don't have $1,100 to give.
And she denied that, but she got with her friends, and they all... It's a significant amount, obviously, $100.
Okay, guys, you guys want to give me some money? And I'll
No, they all did it together.
That's what I'm saying. I'll tip somebody.
Do you think if we were all eating together, which is what happened, was they would want to talk to you or probably Amy before you?
Probably Amy.
Because she's...
But then I would say, oh, no, talk to my friend Lunchbox.
And then they would say, oh, here's Bobby. It's Bobby Bones.
I wouldn't do it.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
I'd give it to you. She says they always do some kind of gift, some kind of gesture. And this was the thing they wanted to do this year. And they went in, had some waffles, a little sausage, and tipped her. And that's awesome that they made it a priority to do that. And I hope you guys do as well. And, you know, coming up soon, our St. Jude Radiothon. That's a way for you to give back as well. And that's coming up. It's $19 a month. Be a partner in Hope. Wait for that show. The date of that. Hey, Scuba, what's the date of our St. Jude?
That's this week, Thursday and Friday.
Oh, it's
yeah, it's happening this week.
I should prepare better. It's Thursday and Friday of this week. I thought it was this week or next week. Okay, yeah. St. Jude Radiothon this week, Thursday and Friday. We hope you can be a partner in Hope. All right, thank you. That is what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good. Go! On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Joey Logano.
Joey, good to see you, man.
Thank you. What's happening?
Joey walked in and dropped a helmet off, and he said something snide, then sat down and laughed. So... You brought this helmet. You're not an Arkansas Razorback football fan, I assume?
I mean, I just thought a race car helmet looked better. That's all.
It does. It actually looks really cool. We're going to leave it up here, so I appreciate that. This is my stupid question here. How much does a helmet like that cost?
By the time you're all said and done, like the actual race helmets, they're, you know, probably $5,000-$6,000 by the time you're all said and done with the radios on them. They're all carbon fiber. They're really nice and light. They got all the stuff. It's my head, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to cut any corners with my head.
I get it. I guess my real question is, how much can I pawn that for?
Yeah. If I'm being honest, that's a replica, so you probably can get a couple $100 for it.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm super pumped you're here. And so the people who works closest with me, and she's been a part of my show and my life for a long time, Morgan, come over here and have a seat. Morgan is a massive fan of NASCAR, of
awesome.
You. And she's going to make sure that I ask all the good questions that hardcore fans want to know, because most of my questions are stupid. For example, you're really tall. How do you fit in a car?
I do. My car is, it's made for me, right?
How tall are you?
I'm 6'2". I'm one of the taller guys out there, but your seat, it's a carbon fiber bucket. And then they pour an insert for you. So it's a foam.
They build your seat around you,
basically?
They
build a seat to fit you, like, perfectly.
Do you do that in your real car, though? Can you be like,
hey. I wish. Because it is the most comfortable thing in the world. You would never want to leave your car. If you had a seat molded directly to your body the way we do, you would. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'd like that. Garth Brooks got me this chair. This is my work seat.
That's what you need. You need a custom molded chair here.
No, I got
show.
One from Garth Brooks. It's way better than yours because Garth Brooks gave it to me.
Well, that's probably right.
Yeah,
that's probably right.
And I'm flexing back over
here. I can't compete with that.
Okay, Morgan, that's my stupid question. What's a great Joey Logano question here that fans would want to know?
Well, this is just a nosy question I have. So you won the Clash, the first race of the season, but you kind of had to decide, am I going to potentially miss the birth of my daughter?
Right.
How does that conversation go down? I know we saw a little bit of it in the USA show, Race for the Championship, but off camera, like, how do you actually decide you may miss the birth of a child?
It was hard because, it's like the worst spot. Like, it's good and bad, right? Because like, you're about to have, you know, a great moment with the birth of our third child, our first daughter. And we're racing in L.A. We live in North Carolina, So you're all the way across the country. It's our third kid. Everyone says a third one pops out like a slip and slide. So you're like, all right, this is going to happen pretty quick. And you don't know if you're going to get home in time. I'm going to be all the way out on the other side of the country. It's going to take me at least 8 hours by the time I get on a plane, fly all the way home, drive to the hospital. I do the whole thing, and I may miss that. And then I'm going to miss the race, too. And so I did what any smart husband would do and said, honey, you tell me what to do. And so that's what worked out. And she said, you know what? When you leave to go out there. You're full committed. Wow. Go racing. And then she goes, I'll be fine. I'm like, oh,
what
okay.
about if it had been you the first kid?
You said this. I said,
what about if it had been the first kid, Joey? Different situation?
Gosh, I don't know. We were fortunate enough that he was born in January when we're not racing, so it was okay. It was a tough decision for sure because it's kind of the what if something goes wrong, right? Like, what if, like, you need to be there for something? And thank God everything went smooth and the way it all worked out was perfectly. It's exactly the way we had it planned up, was go out there, win the race, come home, we'll have the baby.
How long until you had the baby once you got back home?
It was 2 days later.
Did you get on a plane right after the race?
Yep. Right after the race, I flew home. It was the next day we went into the hospital.
Dang.
And
you got lucky.
She popped out.
I'm telling you, she wouldn't have been so happy if all of a sudden he's on like turn eight and all of a sudden the baby starts coming out. That's
awesome.
What
are you going to do? Like, it's a tough spot. I mean, it's the life we live too, because you're put in a spot whether are you letting your family down, your wife down by not being there, or you're letting your team down by not being there, right? They have a lot that's committed into our race team as well, right? There's a lot of bonuses and their families relying on you as well to go do your job. So now you're like, you're stuck in the middle, and it's a great spot to be, mm-hmm. because it's going to be the birth of your child. It's great, but it's also a tough spot to be.
If the baby would have started, let's say she went into labor, would they have told you in your ear during the race?
So I said, you tell me like right after the race, like if we cross the start finish line, if she's having the baby, I am driving straight out of the racetrack. We're not doing media. I am driving the race car to the airport. Like, I'm going. Funny. So I didn't have to do that, which was good though.
All right. Joey Logano is here. We're talking, first of all, congrats on such a successful season. I mean, when you were coming in, there's a passion with college football fans and NASCAR fans, and there are a lot of parallels between the two. But I said, Joey Logano's coming in, and some people, you would have thought I just slapped their grandma. Now, I had not met you. You are extremely warm. You walk in the room, you're smiling, you said hi to everybody. You're a kind guy. But why would people not like you? Why? Like, what did you do to them, Joey?
Well, nothing to them particularly, directly. But so here's the thing. I think this is true in probably all sports, and it's really hard for, I think, a lot of people to understand, is that when you get in a competitive environment, like driving a race car or playing football or basketball or whatever it may be, you have to flip a switch and become very selfish. Like, because you have to win. Like, it's not about being nice. It's not about doing the right thing. It's about winning the race. That's all that matters in those moments. So you become a different person. And I think it's really hard for people to understand how you can do one thing on the racetrack and then get out, take your helmet off, and be a normal person, right? And, like, be actually kind to people, right? Mm-hmm. But that's what it is, though. Like, my job is to go out there and win and kick everyone's butt. Like, that is the job. So I get how that's kind of hard to understand, but I've also, like, tried to explain that for years that, like, we're all like that. I may be one of the more aggressive guys on the racetrack, and I think that's where a lot of this all comes from, is that I don't like getting pushed around. I always push back every time someone pushes me. So I think that aggressive nature is kind of shown a lot on the track. And when you don't get to explain yourself after the race very well, it looks like people can interpret it however they want, right? And so you get kind of both sides. Not everybody hates me. Okay,
I agree.
I'm all right.
There was a lot of love.
There's some love in there,
too.
But
people are passionate and with passion. Listen, I would like to take every Alabama football fan and shake them because I'm market. But as individual people, I probably like most every one of them. But the groups, we don't like each other because it's like a respect of hatred. Because we love our people and we respect how good they are. We don't want them to beat our people. So all of a sudden, we don't like that fan base.
But you know what's great about it is passion, right? And that's what builds sports. Is that you're passionate about your team or your driver or whoever that is. And a lot of times when you're very passionate about the person or the team you like, you naturally just don't like the others because they're trying to beat that person.
Trying to take your team down.
Right.
You know, it's funny you say that. So I do this show 5 days a week. I have a couple TV shows and I tour doing stand up. But when I'm not working, I don't talk. Like, I live my life. Look at me. I'm the center of attention. But then when I'm not, I'm a complete introvert.
Really?
And so when you're saying that, like, you're super aggressive when you're driving and you're like the nicest dude when you walk in, there's a switch. I kind of have to flip off. You have to flip right. one on. I got to flip, yeah. but it's like almost two different people. Do you, when you're driving in the, are you aggressive when you're driving on, you know, Main Street?
No, not as much. Maybe I used to be more than I should be. Kids changed all that for me, okay? Like, you kind of like all of a sudden as a kid in the backseat, you're like, oh, you got to be a little smarter now. And now when someone goes flying by me down the highway, I'm like, you know?
Do you like cars outside of racing?
Oh, absolutely. I am a huge car guy. Antique cars, old cars, that's my thing more than anything. But
do you have a garage?
I love cars. Yeah, it's probably too much. I have a car problem.
How many?
I like shoes.
Yeah.
He likes cars.
That's his shoes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Morgan, what is your next educated question for Joy Logano?
I want to go back to like the drama of it all because that's one of my favorite parts. So obviously, you're going to get into altercations with other drivers. It's happened. Sometimes you get into physical fights with other drivers. But then you have to race alongside them for sometimes like years and years to come. So what's the process of making amends? Because NASCAR fans never forget.
They never forget. Neither do drivers. They remember everything too. And it's going to happen, right? Because we compete against, it's the same drivers every week, right? It's a traveling circus, as I call it, is that you're going from racetrack to racetrack, racing the same cars, same drivers, same teams. And you think about other sports, football, we keep making references to football, so we'll do that. You compete against a team, and then you may not compete against them again all year, or maybe it's 3 or 4 months before you see them again. There's time to like kind of let it settle. But when like something happens 1 week, and then next week, there he is again, right in front of you, you know, like, oh, what am I gonna do? Right, like it hasn't died off yet. Like it's still that feeling, the anger. It's all still there. So you react in different ways, and I did a lot of it the wrong way earlier in my career. And a part of that is just coming into sports so young. I've been doing this for 15 years now, and I started when I was 18. And so I just like probably everyone in this room, you did some stupid things when you're 18.
Yeah, I do them now.
I did it in front of everyone on TV, and so they remember that, and that's part of the reason why they don't like me now is another piece of
there's
that.
There's only a small group, but there's a very passionate group, Joey.
That's right. But it's kind of how you do it, right? And you have to earn respect out there. And a lot of times the best way to earn respect is by giving respect. But you also have to stay on your ground, right? You can't get pushed around either. So there's just a balance between all that.
So when I'm driving sometimes, I'll get in the car and I'll drive somewhere and I'll be like, dang, I'm already here. I guess I zoned out. You ever like daydream and zone out while you're driving?
No, it's different. Like, I mean, yes, when I'm driving down the road, yes.
I'm like, how did I get here? Exactly. I'm already at the mall?
Or you take a wrong turn, you're like,
or all of a sudden you wake up, you're like, why am I pouring milk on my head?
Right. In the race car, I mean, it's very intense, right? Because you're pushing yourself, your vehicle at the absolute limit. And if you lose focus for a second, you hit the wall, right? And then your race is over, right? And so your heart rate is high. It's very intense. You're focused in like this ultra focus. And so you can't really compare it very well to driving a car.
Okay, let me make this comparison because you do race a lot. So I hosted American Idol once when Seacrest was out. And I was on the show anyway, and they say, hey, we need you to host because Ryan's sick. So I go up, and I didn't feel like the moment was too big for me, and I'd done a lot of hosting things. And as I'm doing it, we're on camera, we're whatever. I find myself wondering what the score of the football game is that I'm missing because of this. Because I'm comfortable. I'm still doing an A-plus job, but I find myself. Are you ever driving in your race and you're like, man, I wonder what we're cooking for dinner tonight?
No.
Dang.
Right. No. I mean, I don't know if every driver will answer that the same as I do, but I don't. Like, I literally zone into something where it takes all my focus, where I can't. Maybe you're smarter than me to where you can handle more than one thing at once.
No, but you're greater than me. That's what it is. You're a champion.
I can't do it.
Morgan, next question.
Okay. So rookies, they have to have like stripes on their car, right?
Right, yeah.
Is there any spoken or unspoken like initiation process as a rookie? And I know you're no longer one, obviously, but when you were a rookie, did you ever have any moments with veteran drivers where you're like, wow, they're ruthless?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so when you're a rookie in the Cup Series, they put a stripe on the back bumper. It's called a rookie stripe, so everybody knows this is a new guy, right? Like, this guy may not know.
It's like
what
driver's ed, the magnet on the car.
That's what it is. Yeah,
new driver.
Yeah, be patient with me, please. Yeah. Right? Like, it's like one of those things. And I mean, it definitely is like a lot of the drivers that have been around for a while. It's almost like they set the tone pretty aggressively with that driver, right? They try to take control of like, hey, welcome to the big league moments, right? Like, here we are, you know, this is how we race. We're not standing up for this or whatever it may be. And I went through this like a lot. And it's funny. So I went through this a lot with Kevin Harvick early in my career. And we had a couple push and shoving matches and back and forth on the racetrack. And it's just like it's really hard to deal with. And it's funny because now looking back at it, and I was talking to him last night, we were eating dinner together, and we were talking about some of the stuff, and I get it now. Like, now that I've been around for a long time, I realize where I was screwing up and what I was doing wrong and how I came into the sport the wrong way, and I understand why he did what he did. But I didn't when I was 18 years old, so it's funny that, like, you can go through all that, and then you can have a friendship kind of away from the racetrack and talking about it, you know, here we are. 10, 12 years later after that, but kind of funny how that all works out.
Are you familiar with the band AC/DC?
I am.
Okay. They're still here, a little before my time, a little before yours, obviously. So they have a lead guitarist named Angus Young, and he goes out and he says every night he loses like 5 to 6 pounds because he goes so hard. Now there's a lot of intensity in what you do for hours at a time in a full body suit. Do you lose weight from the time you get in the car to the time you get out? And does it affect what you eat that day or how much you drink that day?
Yes. So our race cars, like, we don't have air conditioning. We don't have like a lot of the creature comforts that you guys have in your car while you're driving down the road because it weighs a lot. It robs horsepower from the car. So it gets really hot, right? So now our engines are running at, you know, 8,700 RPM and we don't have air conditioning. So it's quite the water heater in front of us. And you can imagine that the water temps are, you know, 250, 260 degrees. Like, it's hot. Well, all that temperature from the headers, the engine, all that stuff gets just put throughout the whole car. So a good rule of thumb, it's 40 degrees warmer inside the car than the outside air temp. So if it's a 90 degree day, it's 130 degrees inside the car. You're in there for three and a half hours throughout a 500 mile race. So you're going to sweat a lot. And you're working the whole time, right? You have to stay focused. You have to do all this. But we train for it, right? It's not like it sounds like you guys are all looking at me like, oh my God, that sounds miserable. And sometimes it is, but you train for it. You do it every week. You hydrate, you eat correctly, you do all the things, just like any other athlete before they prepare for a game. It's the same for us before, as we prepare for a race.
Dang, that's hot.
But do you have like a little fan?
I mean, he's got one of those little
blower. I'm like, they make them on Amazon. You put them around your neck.
And that's a great idea. I do have a on top of the helmet, you see there's a little air duct on the top.
We can and plug mine in. Or the real one?
Well, and both. But on the top and the back. They plug in, and that's where you get like outside air blown into your helmet, so you can breathe fresh air. So you don't like, and it goes through like a CO filter, so where you don't get sick and all that from the fumes. Okay. So that's pretty much all you got.
Dang, okay. That's hardcore. Morgan, next question.
Okay, so you mentioned race preparation. A lot goes into it before you actually make it to the track. I want to know what area you think most drivers like they slack the most in, if it's the sim or what part they look forward to the least.
I think probably every driver finds their own way to prepare, right? Like everybody finds their own way and what works for them. And you have to realize what your weaknesses are and what your strengths are and try to play to those. And you know, for me, the only way I'm going to feel confident is if I do all the prep work. So it's really like a lot of film review for me, a lot of meetings with the engineers and going through a lot of the setup stuff. Like that's where I really feel like I can impact the team the most and where I can help myself be prepared the most. When it gets to race time. But like others go to the simulator a lot. I don't believe in the sim. You don't believe in the sim? I don't go there. There's like this racing like simulator you get in, and it's like the coolest video game of all time. But it's pretty realistic, but not all the way realistic. And so you can, like, to me, I think I can form a lot of bad habits and steer the team down the wrong direction. And so I don't believe in it 100%. So I don't go there a lot.
It worked for Ross Chastain this season.
He did a video game move, yes. Which I don't know if that's correct or not, but he did it and it
worked. Classic Ross, right? Classic Ross.
He's like, who's Ross?
Yeah, I have no idea. Classic Ross, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's just, everyone finds their way. Like, you guys prepare for the show in different ways. I'm sure everybody has a different role and different jobs and do it differently. It's the same for us.
All right, we have two questions each. So some of my athlete friends and some that I just know of in their contracts say they can't ski or they can't bungee jump because they have obligations to their sponsor or their team. Are those in your deals with them too? Because you are an athlete for sure and you don't want to hurt yourself so you can't drive. Can you snow ski?
It says in there just don't be an idiot, basically. It's where, like, don't go... do something and get yourself hurt. If you do, you're out.
Do you right? make That's basically decisions what it comes based on that, though? Like, if your family went to Colorado, you'd be like, I'm not going to ski.
I'm probably not going to do that. Right? I mean, I went skiing with my son, actually, this week, but he's 4, and we stayed on the bunny hill, and I was teaching him how to ski, and we were kind of going on the... But no, I did not go to the top and try to go down because I just know... I don't want to take that risk.
Motorcycles? Would you ride a motor?
I mean, I ride a quad a lot. Like, I ride a lot of stuff off-road because that's... To me, that's like it's how I grew up, and in a way, it kind of keeps me sharp when we're not in the race car. Like, there's just think about it. It's not easy to just go practice. Like, I can't pick up a ball and go shoot hoops, mm-hmm. right? I can't just go get in a race car and drive it in my front yard and right think that I'm getting somewhere with it. Like, it's not that simple or easy for us. So,
video game.
There's that. There's also to me is just driving something at its edge, whatever it is. Whether it's a go-kart or I love this stuff. I love driving cars.
Skydive?
This is it. No, I would never do that. Never, ever. I don't like heights. No, I'll stay on the ground. But I do think anytime you can push yourself to the limit inside a vehicle, I think helps you on race day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Morgan?
Okay, I'm curious about the Nashville Fairgrounds, because there's going to be a vote early next year that's basically going to help determine if NASCAR is going to race there again, and y'all have not raced there since the 80s. Why is this a track like Dale Jr. and other current drivers are so vocal about wanting to get back on the series?
I think, you know, it's a great question. That's how you know she's into this. She knows about the fairgrounds up
and
right
Ross.
Here.
Huh?
And Ross. She knows that too. Yeah, so very educated. I would say the main reason for the fairground, I think, is it's a very historic facility. It's not far from downtown, which is really good. I think we learned that a lot this year. Is if we bring the races to the people, it is a whole different experience, right? When we raced at the LA Coliseum, right, we're racing downtown. The place was packed, and I think it was close to 70% of the people there were first-time racers, race fans, like never been to the racetrack before. 70% of the people there have never been to one before. Right? So just think about the people that we haven't really reached out to yet. So I think a lot of times bringing the racetrack to the people, the fairgrounds kind of accomplishes that. It's an old facility that has a historic vibe, right? That throwback vibe. It's kind of cool. So I look forward to it. Hopefully we can all make it work, right? We're doing that at North Wilkesboro this year at the All-Star Race. It's another racetrack that's been shut down for years. It's been shut down for, I don't know how long, 30 years?
Yeah, a long time. Dale Jr. has also been really
big on that.
About that one.
Well, he's a big throwback guy, so it makes sense. But it's cool that, like, you know, Dale Jr. was our most popular driver for years. And, you know, now that he's retired and he's doing TV stuff, but he still cares so much about the sport that he's always looking for ways to you know, keep things going along and doing different things. And he has that throwback, passion that he's always pushing, which is great.
Joey Logano is here, and not talking about anyone specifically or even yourself at all, but sometimes when guys will hop out of the car and they'll start swinging at each other. Why would you take your helmet off when you, not you, but I if you're going to fight, why take off protection in any world? I see them take their helmet off and then go to town. Football players do it too. Like, why would you take your helmet off?
Well, I mean, you kind of, well, you have to. Like, I don't know. I feel like you have to.
Like, that's the code of ethics?
I think you got to take it off.
Like, the Roman warriors didn't go, okay, time to battle. Pull your helmets off, guys. Listen, no, you leave it on in case.
It's not about being smart in that moment, okay? Like, you're already doing something stupid. You're fighting. It's already dumb in the first place. So you might as well go all out and take your helmet off while you're doing it.
Okay.
Be extra dumb.
Do you feel it if you get hit? Or are you adrenaline system?
What, if you get punched?
At a race.
Oh, like in the car?
No, let's say you and me were running beside each other, and I'm like, pull over. Is that what you do, point at the side?
Yeah, that's an idea. Over. I put my blinker on
Good. And so you get, let's say you get in a fight, wherever you guys fight, like on the side after the race. Is your adrenaline up so much that you don't really feel it then?
It's really not that many fights. Yeah. Like, it doesn't happen that often. It's not a hockey game. And honestly, I haven't been involved in one in quite some time now because mainly my son can watch YouTube now.
That's good.
It lives forever.
Yeah. And so that's why I don't fight.
Right? Like, there's better ways to handle it. Like I said, I made a lot of dumb mistakes when
I was
a kid.
Leave your helmet on.
There it is.
If it happens anytime soon.
Yeah, or just handle it differently. I think that's
something
too.
Yeah, I'll leave your helmet on. Yeah. I want to see you rocking in a helmet and be like, I told him. All right, Morgan, last question.
Okay, last question. I try and convert all my friends into NASCAR fans because I just feel like it's so slept on. Morgan over there knows.
She's diehard.
What's your best elevator pitch for the people listening that have never watched a race or given NASCAR a chance?
I think you got to go to one to really get the full experience, right? Like, just like most sports, like on TV is great, right, to watch and it has all that. But when you go to a race in person and you feel all the cars come by the first time, right? You have 40 cars going, you know, 150 to 200 miles an hour by you. That feeling, you can't replicate it anywhere. Like there's no, like, think about, like, if you've ever been sitting on the side of the road when you had a flat tire or something like that while you're waiting for AAA and you see all the cars going by you at 70 miles an hour and they look like they're hauling the mail, right? Like they look like they're going fast at 70. Well, like triple that, you know what I mean? Like, or more than double, at least, how much faster we're going, and they're loud and they're bumping and banging and doing it. It's awesome. Like I fell in love with this when I was a kid, when I was 6 or 7 years old, and I haven't changed a bit since then. Like, I'm always going to be a race fan first. But like the feeling of the adrenaline, all that stuff going is cool. And then as you start to learn the detail, the technical side of the sport, the strategy side of the sport, it just keeps getting deeper, just like every other sport, right? Like there's a casual way of watching it, and then you can just fully immerse yourself into all the details.
What are you involved in, Joey, that like brings purpose to why you race cars? Meaning, you get to do this, you get a platform. So with that platform, you like to do blank.
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's what I say, what's the why, right? Like, why do you do this? And you know, my wife said it best to me one time, once we got married a few years ago. She has been, it's almost 8 or 9
Don't
years
Don't say it
ago.
Wrong.
This isn't live right now. But, and she said to me, she goes, when you're on your deathbed, do you want people or trophies? And that was kind of like the eye-opening experience for me. And I said, I want both. And I think I could do that because I think you can take a trophy and do something with it, right? Like, no one's going to remember we won the championship this year 15 years from now. No one's going to care. No one's going to know. It's just going to be a stat in a history book that someone's going to look at and it's going to move on. But if you take the platform that God's given me here to do something that impacts people for a long period of time, that's something that lasts for generations. And that's why we started Joey Logano Foundation. We give second chances to children and young adults in times of crisis. A lot of foster kids, foster families, kids that just haven't been dealt maybe the best of hands, and they just need some loving, right? They just need somebody to support them, help them, become a contributing member of society. And we work with a lot of organizations that do that. And basically, we use our race fans, our platform, and all that to pour a little bit of fuel on the sparks that these other organizations are doing, right? That's, we're trying to bring some light to what they're doing, and that's the why, right? That's the whole reason why we really do what we do. So if not, these trophies they're empty cups. Like it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. So that's the main reason here.
What my last, not even a real question, but you have a ring on that is a monster. What is that?
That's the championship ring from this year. So they gave this
that
to me.
Is that the real
Phoenix
one?
Dang. That's the one right there. Wow. It's a little big and gaudy. It's a little flashier than I typically am. This is a pretty flashy thing to do, but
what is it?
I felt like we're here for the banquet. It's probably like the only time that I can wear it without like feeling like I'm a,
it's a belt buckle, little,
you know?
Yeah.
Huge. It's a belt buckle.
It's a belt buckle. Like we headlined the in Wyoming.
Yeah.
The,
it's Freedom.
Frontier Days. Frontier Days. Big deal. So Eddie, we headlined that show and they gave us these big belt buckles and it is not as big as your ring. it's not as big as that ring.
It's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's a little much, but hey, you know what? If we won the whole thing, I might as well wear it for at least a weekend, right?
Well, I'm going to say this. You are my favorite driver.
Am I the only one you ever met, though?
No.
No? All right.
No, not at all.
Who's the one?
We've met a few. Tony Stewart liked our feet. It was weird.
Do you know him? Do you know Tony?
I know Tony. Yeah.
Did you know he's maybe has a foot fetish?
I did not know this.
Okay. Yeah, he was talking to her about her feet.
Yeah, he kept staring at her.
On the air or like afterwards?
No, we were at
a creepy conversation about your feet.
Race and maybe interviewing him for something, and he kept looking at them. And then I don't know what he walked away.
So we don't have to spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah. I feel like I got to know more about it, though.
Okay.
He just said that. He said, "You have nice feet." And nice feet. Walked favorite away. Driver.
That's Morgan, who did I just
the foot guy?
Who did I just do the TV show with?
Kyle Busch.
Oh.
You know what, that guy, you know, here's the thing. I'll be honest with you, Joey. I get on this, and I'm not supposed to say what show it was yet, but we did a show together, and I didn't know who he was.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they brought on, like, a fan to, like, be a part.
That went over well.
And I was just confused. And I said, because his house was in the background, and I said, dang, whatever you do must pay well. I didn't know it was. And I think he thought I was kidding, but I wasn't because I didn't know who he was. And then later I realized he was a driver.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, this is Kyle Busch. And I remember somebody was like, oh, yeah, that's Kyle Busch. And what's he known for?
Because
the reaction wasn't positive when I said that to who I was with. They were like, oh, yeah, that's Kyle Busch.
He's a love him or hate him type of person.
Okay.
Just
a big personality.
Right? Like, he's a big personality. He's very emotional and really speaks his mind a lot. He's a character. Right, he's a character in our sport for sure. He's a very talented race car driver. You know, he's one of the best on the racetrack.
I ended up liking him just fine.
Yeah.
I just didn't know who he was at first, and I thought he thought I was joking, but I wasn't. I don't know. I just thought it was a dude who I was teamed up. It was a whole thing. But in the end, look at us. You're my favorite. I met him. Met Busch. I met
Denny Hamlin.
Met Hamlin.
And you know this guy Ross now.
Ross
Chastain,
bro. Watermelon Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Joey, you're awesome, man. You can't, you know, sometimes I'm a little hesitant or a little apprehensive, but yeah, you're the guy. You're my guy.
All right. Well,
like
thank
the
you.
Nicest guy.
I already gave you a helmet. I kind of bought your love, but that's okay.
You know, it actually put you a quarter step back because I was like, you're trying to buy my love.
Oh.
But then.
Now I should have gave it to you afterwards.
No, it's still good. I like
it's
it.
It's still good.
Yeah,
okay.
I like it. All right. Okay, listen, you guys follow Joey at Joey Logano. That's my new favorite driver. I'm gonna be watching.
Thank you.
Get on the track, shift your gears, win some stuff. And
that's what we do.
That's it, same. Right?
So what do we look for to make sure it's your car?
Number 22.
22.
That's okay, it.
Is bright, it always
it's yellow. Bright
Benzoil
Shell Pennzoil,
Mustang.
Bright yellow and red car. Okay. You can't miss it. It's
he's
the one that stands
up in the
out
front.
The most. It's
yeah,
good.
He's the guy.
Yeah,
up
I like that.
He's the guy winning.
Okay,
but once they start going in circles, you can't tell.
Well, they don't
who's...
show the people in the back.
You'll see. It's the yellow one. It stands out. It's one of the only yellow cars
that's
out
easy.
There.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Big fan here. Yeah.
Thank you.
Here he is, our friend, Joey Logano.
All right, guys. Thank you.
It's time for the good news
with Amy.
Tell me something good.
Lauren Summey just turned 105 years old. Wow. She lives at an assisted living home in Cherryville, North Carolina. And the people that work there, they treated her to a big old party because 105 years on this earth and she'd never had a big party before.
Wait, what? And I'm one that's like, oh, poor me, I never had a birthday party. She's 105 and never had one?
Yeah. So one of the staff members.
At 100? They didn't give her a party?
That's crazy.
Yeah, at 100. If I don't know somebody and I know they're 100, I'll give them a party. That's epic. Okay,
man. So special shout out to Jody Langford, who works there. And she put on social media and asked others in the community to, you know, help celebrate Lauren. And 1,200 birthday cards arrived from people all over the country. And then they had a big party. There was square dancing, line dancing, a miniature pony named Daniel Jackson.
All those cards, though, is too much.
But it's thoughtful.
It is, but it's like, what are you going to open all of them? She can die before she can get to all 1,000
No, but just
of them.
Seeing the stack.
Yes, it is great. I love to see that. I love to see people do it. But there's got to be a way, like that. It's a GoFundMe. Everybody put in a dollar that's going to buy. I don't know. I like it. I love the effort. I think we could channel it a little differently. Like everybody sign something online, write a nice message, then donate to like her favorite thing or something. Mm. But she's 105. That's awesome. I would love to be 105.
As long as you're still.
Exactly. You got to
like,
be fully.
I'd rather be half and alive at 105.
Really?
Huh?
Yeah.
Even if I had to change you?
Yes.
I mean, you've had to at 33. So.
Have you changed an old person before?
Not in the last week or so.
But it's okay, I mean, he'd be the one getting changed. Yeah. He's cool with that.
Who gives a crap? Me, and then they change it. There you go. That's a great story. I love the people who stood up and sent her cards. That's really sweet.
And shout out to all caregivers out there because you are the heroes.
Great and small. Caregivers, great and small.
Yes.
Good tidings to you all.
Yeah.
All right. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenas, buenas, mis amores. This is Vico Ortiz, host of Date My Abuelita First. Each week, myself, alongside our resident abuelita, Liliana Montenegro.
Esa soy yo.
Play matchmaker for a group of hopeful romantics in this fun, flirty, and hilarious game show. Let's see if chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps. Listen to Date My Abuelita First on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.